Genesis chapter 1 verses 27 and 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
사랑하는 성도 여러분,
dear viewing audiences, this is the fourth session of the Message of the Cross, and I will talk about God who created man. God has neither beginning nor end. He existed from before an eternity that nobody can fathom. Then, at a certain point in time, God made a plan. It was a plan to create the heavens, earth, and human beings. To accomplish this plan, God prepared all the things one by one over a long period of time. First, from the spiritual space where he had been dwelling, God divided out the physical space where he would create all things and human beings. Then, from originally existing one God, he divided out from himself God the Son and God the Holy Spirit to become the Trinity. From this moment, God put on a certain image, and it is the image that we now have. In the spiritual realm, he made spiritual beings such as heavenly hosts, the angels, and cherubim. In the physical space, he made the earth on which the human beings would live. After he finished all the preparations, God began to create the heavens and the earth in full scale. Genesis chapter 1 briefly tells us about the process of God's six-day creation. On the first day, he created light. On the second day, the expanse. And on the third day, he divided the land and sea and made plants, vegetation, and trees bearing fruit. On the fourth day, he made the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. And the fifth day, living things in the sea and birds. On the sixth day, he made livestock and animals that move along the ground. Lastly, he created the human beings. His work of dividing the physical space from the spiritual realm and creating the heavens and the earth and all things was after all for the creation of man. Just as the parents decorate the baby's room and prepare everything for the baby even before he or she is born, and just as they prepare toys and everything for their children, God made a suitable environment for man and created them so that they could enjoy everything. Human beings, animals, birds, and plants did not come to exist by chance. Neither did the sun, water, nor air. God created everything appropriately for the cultivation of mankind. Why then did God create man? Why does he let so many people live on this earth until today? If you can answer this question, you will be able to determine the answer to why you live and how you should live. In order to know the true value of man, you first have to know God's purpose of creating human beings. You can live a truly meaningful and valuable life when you live up to the purpose of being born into this world. I hope you will realize the purpose of God's creating man through this message. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be able to confess, I have lived a truly valuable life, when you end your life on this earth. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and viewing audiences, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God created the heavens and the earth by his word, but he himself formed the man from the dust of the ground. He molded not only the outer appearance, but also internal organs, bones, and muscles, and all the tissues perfectly. After God made the man very sophisticatedly, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Since this time, the man became a living spirit. But when people hear this, some say they cannot believe it. They doubt how an image made from the dust of ground can have life and move around. But even man, who is a mere creature himself, has accumulated knowledge and can make robots that are similar to man and computers that are somewhat like human brain. They can even make artificial internal organs and skin. When they assemble elaborate parts to make a machine and connect it to electricity, it moves as if it is alive. Our God also made all the parts of human body, and then He put the breath of life into the man, and the man became the living spirit. If man as a creature can do these things, then why would it be difficult for God the Almighty to create man? It is that man has limited his thinking to the point they cannot believe in the power of God. God existed since before the beginning, but a man is born of his mother. Then he gains his knowledge and wisdom from other people and other creatures. Therefore, we should not try to judge God with that limited knowledge. Even today, God shows us works of creation for us to think about going beyond our own mental limitations and thoughts. In our church's revival meetings or in overseas crusades, there are many people who experience the work of creation of God. For example, people whose legs were different in length due to infantile paralysis or traffic accidents experienced lengthening of their legs to become equal after receiving the prayer. Such cases of shortened legs became 2 centimeters, 4 centimeters, or even 8 centimeters longer. For example, Deaconess Hikyong-sung's left leg was 4 centimeters shorter than the right one due to congenital cerebral palsy. She had to limp when walking, and because her spine and the hip bone were twisted, it was hard for her to stand or walk for a long time. She received prayer during the revival meeting in 1997, and at the moment, her shoulder leg became longer so that she could stand up straight. The spine that had been bent due to shoulder leg was straightened. The twisted hip bone also became normal, and her overall height increased by 3 centimeters. For a shoulder leg to be lengthened like this, not only the bones, but also the muscles, nerves, and the skin tissues all had to be renewed together. By the prayer, God performed the work of creation to make all these parts complete. She is married and now has 2 children. Also in 2002, we had a united crusade attended by a total of 3 million people at Marina Beach, Chennai, India. A boy called Ganesh attended this meeting. He had a tumor in his hip bone and received a surgery to remove a part of the hip bone and hip joint. A metal plate was inserted to connect the remaining portion of the hip joint with the thigh bone. In the X-ray picture, you can clearly see the metal plate and the bolts on the bone. Even after he received this surgery, Ganesh still suffered from pain, and he could not walk without crutches. But when he received the prayer at the crusade, all his pain was gone immediately, and he came to walk and run by himself without crutches. Now he can even play cricket. Sometime later, we heard that his bones, of which a part had been removed, regenerated so that he could now remove the metal plate and the bolts. God the Creator can lengthen shorter legs, make one walk even without a bone where it is an essential part, and cause a bone that was removed to grow again. Through these works of creation, we can surely believe that God created man. Dear brothers and sisters, God the Creator, after He made Adam and Eve, gave them the seed of life so that they could have offspring. He gave them sperm of man and egg of woman. The sperm and egg are concentrated, the life energy of the parents. In such a small seed of life, parents' appearances, characters, intelligence, and habits are all contained. So the children resemble the parents. How amazing it is, since all these things are contained in such a small seed that is not visible to the naked eyes. God is the one who gave this seed of life to produce children, and He is also the one who gives conception through the seed. Since a baby is born through these seeds, we call the person who gave the sperm the father, and the one who gave the egg and gave birth to as the mother. If you don't receive sperm or egg, you cannot call that person a father or mother. The baby is made by the combination of the sperm and egg of the parents, but the conception itself is controlled by God. Viewing audiences, if the children resemble the parents and ancestors, whom did Adam, the ancestor of mankind, resemble? Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female. He created them." Adam and Eve were made after the image of the Holy God. The image here does not only refer to our outer appearance, but more important for a man is his spirit, while his body is just a vessel to contain the spirit. The more important meaning of saying that man is created in God's image is that his spirit came from God's spirit, and our spirit is made after the image of God's spirit. So we call him the father of our spirit. It is the same with our body. Our body is conceived through the union of the sperm and egg that was given by God. When Adam was first created, his spirit was filled only with goodness, light, and truth, just like God who is holy and pure. But since Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge, mankind came to be stained with sins and evil. Unlike when he was first created, he lost the image of the Holy God. Therefore, What we have to do as believers in God is to recover the lost image of the Holy God. We lost the image of God. So we must accept the Lord, receive the forgiveness of sins, and begin to recover the lost image of God. This is the Christian life and human cultivation. We should love God and live a changed life according to the Word of God. Dear viewing audiences, the mankind has long been trying to get the answer to the question, why am I alive? We can find the clear answer for the purpose of our lives only when we acknowledge God the Creator. We first have to realize why God created man and cultivates them on this earth. Now, I used the expression cultivates. This is taken from parables in the Bible. There are many parables in the Bible, and among them are many about cultivating the land, farming, and harvesting fruits and grain. For example, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus compared the heart of man with four kinds of land. He explained the measure of bearing truth as fruit is different according to what kind of heart the seed of God's word falls upon. Also, he explained about the judgment through the parables of wheat and chaff in Matthew chapter 3. And the parable of weeds and wheat in Matthew chapter 13. Souls who are like the wheat will go to the barn of the kingdom of heaven, but the souls who are like the weeds and chaff will fall into the fire of hell. Through these biblical parables, God lets us know that He's creating man on this earth and leading the human history is like cultivation. Just as farmers plow the land and cultivate, God also cultivates us like a farmer. That is why we can say God's providence of creating us human beings and letting us live on this earth is the providence of human cultivation. Then why did God create Adam and why has He been cultivating man until today? Conclusively speaking, the purpose of human cultivation is to gain true children. God wanted to gain children with whom He could share His love. God the Creator has the power of the deity, the authority as the judge, and strict justice as a divine being. But at the same time, He also has humane nature such as love, compassion, and mercy. He sometimes rejoices and becomes happy or becomes sad or laments at other times. Because He has humane natures, He wanted to have somebody with whom He could share His love rather than being alone. That is why He planned to create and cultivate man. Of course, He did not need to make man. He had countless angels and heavenly hosts. They are beings that only obey God unconditionally. They worshipped, praised, and gave glory to God. They are not beings that choose to obey or not in different situations, but only obey unconditionally. But there are some angels to whom God gave humane nature so they could choose on their own. One of them was Lucifer. So Lucifer chose not obedience but betrayal. But God wanted true children who could obey with their free will and love stemming from their heart, unlike these angels. Let me give you an example. A person has a son, and he sometimes causes trouble and breaks the heart of his parents. But when his parents scold him, he repents, asks for forgiveness, and comes to the parents in a lovely and winsome way. As he gets older, he comes to understand the heart of his parents. His thanks and love for the grace of his parents becomes greater as much as he understands his parents. Your love has to grow deeper day by day, but many times it is not the case. As the time goes, people become more evil. So, there was sad news last week too. There was a son, and his mother had some Alzheimer's, and she couldn't use her lower body. But this son just left home and left her. He came back only after a year. So his mother had already died, and only her bones were remaining. The room was filled with foul smell. I don't know why even the neighbors didn't know about it. Anyway, he came back and saw it, but he just left again without doing the funeral. Later, he was found and caught for that. I hear this kind of sad news every week. But just in the 50s or in 60s, I could hear this kind of news only once in several months. And when something like this happened, all the people were so surprised to hear such a thing. But today the world is so full of sins that we can hear this kind of news every week. Also, how many incidents will go unnoticed? Thanks and love for the grace of parents become greater as much as we understand our parents. Now let's say in his house there is a high-tech robot. This robot is made in human form. It can even speak and obeys any command. It can do even hard work without any difficulty to help the owner. It'll never give any trouble or break the heart of the parents, like the son already mentioned. Then which one would you rather have? Would you say you don't need a son because you have the high-tech, well-obeying robot? No matter how well a robot obeys and it resembles man, we cannot compare it with our own children with whom we can share our heart. I once raised minors, and I taught them how to say hello. Then they quickly learned. They also said the bad things they had learned before. They questioned people like, why, why? I raised them for a couple of weeks, and I just got rid of them. I wanted to know how quickly they can pick up the language of people, and they could repeat very quickly. So I wanted to teach them some Bible verses. But do these birds understand man's language? Do they know the meaning? Also, they eat for the whole day. I heard we have to put some food for them all the time. They eat all day, and they also empty their stomach all day. It's good if they empty their stomach only two or three times, but they do it for the whole day. So because they do it for the whole day, the smell comes into the whole floor. When the church members visit my residence, they should smell good smell, but it didn't smell good. So I had to get rid of them. No matter how well a robot obeys and it resembles man, we cannot compare it with our own children with whom we can share our heart. God wanted to gain this kind of true children with whom he could share his heart. Rather than heavenly hosts and angels who are made only to obey, he wanted true children who would obey willingly with love for God. That is why he made man. If he gained true children who know His heart and obey Him from the depth of their heart, He would lead them to the eternal kingdom of heaven and let them enjoy only joy and happiness. But when you farm, you will not gain only wheat. Although the farmer tries his best, there is not only wheat but also chaff at the time of harvest. You cannot eat the chaff. And if you put the chaff with the wheat in the barn, even the wheat will become inedible. Therefore, you can just use the chaff only for fertilizer, or you have to burn them. In the same way, after God cultivates human beings, He will separate the wheat and the chaff at the end. Matthew chapter 3 verse 12 says, His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor, gathering His wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here, the unquenchable fire refers to the fire of hell. When the end that is set by God comes, God will end the human cultivation and judge everybody who has lived on this earth. At this time, those who have not become the wheat but the chaff will fall into the fire of hell through the judgment. Then, what kind of people is the wheat that enters the heavenly kingdom, and what kind of is the chaff that falls into hell? The wheat is those who have accepted Jesus Christ, love God, and live according to God's word. They are the ones who have diligently gotten rid of evil and recovered the lost image of God. On the contrary, the chaff is those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are the ones who live in untruth and darkness. They are also those who profess their faith in God, but do not truly believe in their heart, but live in untruth and darkness. But the important thing is that not everyone who attends church is fully ripened grain. Even though they profess with their lips they believe in the Lord, if they do not live according to God's word, but live in sins, following the lust of the world, they are not wheat, but chaff. That is why Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Dear viewing audiences, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, "God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God wants everybody to come to know His heart, become the wheat, and reach salvation. That is why He even gave His one and only Son, Jesus, for crucifixion. Nevertheless, those who have not accepted the Lord as their Savior, or those who still live in sins, cannot recover the value of God's true children, who are made in the image of God. They cannot become God's true children. Since they cannot accomplish the duty of man, they are no different than animals, and nothing but chaff. God cannot bring this chaff that has lost the value of man into the kingdom of heaven, along with souls who have come out as wheat. What will happen if God lets those who hate, envy, fight, and have all kinds of evil into the kingdom of heaven? Then, the kingdom of heaven will no more be happy, beautiful, and glorious place. So, what will happen to those souls who cannot come into the kingdom of heaven? Will they just be extinguished? Even the souls who are chaff, since they have received the breath of life from God, will exist forever and cannot be extinguished. So, there has to be a place to keep them forever. That place is hell. Those souls who have become chaff will be punished according to the wages of their sins in the eternal fire. Hell is divided into lake of fire and lake of sulfur. Once one is thrown into one of those lakes, he has to suffer forever and ever. Our Lord also said, the fire of hell is not quenched forever. One has to suffer there forever and ever. All these things are true and clear facts. All our members are witnessing with your eyes and experiencing yourselves the signs and wonders recorded in the Bible. So you can believe that the Bible is true and that there is life to come, that there is a heaven and an earth, heaven and a hell. Also, through the books of heaven and hell, you can find out about and believe heaven and hell. Still, there are some people who doubt and do not live in faith. I feel very sorry for them. My heart is burning and aching for them. They see so many evidences every week. And how can they do it? They see signs and wonders every week, and how can they not believe? They see the signs and wonders that were manifested by the prophets and disciples. How can they still not believe? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, viewing audiences, so far you listened about why God made man and cultivates them on this earth. Now, can you answer to the question, why do we live? We live to become the wheat according to the purpose of God's cultivating us. First of all, we should believe in God the Creator and then accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Also, we should obey the Word of God and change ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. If you do this, God will recognize you as His true children with whom He can share His love. God can protect you only when you are His true child. He will walk with you and protect you with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with His blazing eyes. So, the enemy devil and Satan cannot intervene and no disease or disaster inflicts you. Even if you make a traffic accident by your mistake, your bodies are kept and protected. Also, because we have so many branch churches around the world, some members get into traffic accidents. But I never heard anybody's brain was damaged. As God told me, I love your flock so much. So even if they are injured by their mistake, I will keep their brain. Our members are protected. If your bone is injured, it is when you do not keep the whole Sabbath or do not give proper tithes. All our members should understand God's word properly, teach it properly, and practice it properly. The head of our church is the Christ. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came as the King of Israel. He is called the King of Kings. But there is another person who is like an emperor. You know an emperor is above a king. But there are some people who serve a person like an emperor, even though they say Christ is their king. So God the Father is the healer. But this person had so many diseases and he could not be healed. Especially if he was like an emperor, he had to communicate with God and be protected by God. So no disease or germs would inflict him. But when he was diseased, he could not be healed. You should understand the Bible properly. The head of the church is the Christ. He is our Lord, Jesus Christ. When God gave him a new name, God called him the King of Kings. And how can somebody be like an emperor? He will then later lead you into the beautiful kingdom of heaven and enjoy eternal happiness and joy with you. Viewing audiences, there certainly are heaven and hell. God has let me know a lot about heaven and hell through deep spiritual communication, and He has shown visions too. We published those contents into books, and there are many requests for this book from all over the world. Right now it is translated into English, Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, Hindi, Tamil, and Russian, and translations into more languages are scheduled. I hear that the readers of these books became passionate in their faith. They repented of their lukewarm faith in the past, and now they became passionate in their faith. Also, even unbelievers accept the Lord after reading these books. Especially in China and other countries, these books are shared and read by so many people because there are not many copies. So, the covers of the books are worn out. When I hear such a thing, I feel very sorry. Heaven is such a beautiful and happy place. The Almighty God decorated the heavenly kingdom in the best way for His beloved children. Even the most magnificent place on this earth cannot compare to heaven, because the heavenly kingdom is made by God, the Creator's wisdom and power that cannot be compared to the ability of man. For example, gold, which is considered very valuable on this earth, is only the pavement of the road in the heavenly kingdom. Also, all kinds of beautiful jewels, pearls, and crystals decorate the houses so beautifully. This applies to those who go to the third kingdom or above. The color and luster of each of the jewel is completely different from that of this earth. For example, the comparative beauty of carnelian in heaven is completely different from that of this earth, like trying to compare the luster of glass with that of a diamond. Even the glittering of tree leaves and the ecstasy of the scent of flowers in heaven are so magnificent and beautiful beyond human imagination. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul said he had seen paradise, and paradise is the lowest dwelling place in heavenly kingdom. Just by seeing the lowest level of dwelling place in heaven, he gained such great knowledge, strength, and hope. Even in such severe trials and persecutions, he could rejoice and give thanks and live for the Lord his whole life. I already have explained to you how he accepted martyrdom by the sword with happiness. Only if we know what kind of place heaven is, we can overcome any kind of difficulties on this earth with thanks and joy. God is cultivating human beings on this earth to lead you and me to this kind of place. He so eagerly wants to gain true children who resemble God and have holy and sanctified heart. I hope you will realize why you are being cultivated on this earth through this message. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be able to live forever in the heavenly kingdom, sharing love with God as His true children. I will pray for all those who are sick. Place your hand on sick parts and infirmities of your body and receive this prayer. If you are not ill, place your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. The work of the Almighty God transcends time and space. He will also work according to your faith. No matter where you are, when you receive this prayer in faith, you will surely experience the astonishing power of God. Hallelujah! The Almighty God of love, lay your hand on all your children, on all GCN viewers who receive this prayer on television. Lay your hand and manifest your work that transcends time and space on every viewer who receives this prayer in faith in every corner of the world. Give each of them the faith by which they can believe and drive out all the power of negative thoughts and doubts. Drive out all trials and sufferings, scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and cleanse with the blood of our Lord from head to toe, the five viscera and the six entrails, each joint, and all nerves, tissues, and cells. Manifest the most high power of creation. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, bacteria, and weaknesses, go away. All contagious diseases, go away. All terminal diseases, endemic diseases, and newly discovered diseases, be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed, be strengthened. Let there be healing of gastric cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, intestinal cancer, and skin cancer, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, heart diseases, lung diseases, all kinds of women's diseases, hypertension, hypotension, diabetes, skin diseases, and inflammation. May polio, paralysis, arthritis, and herniated disc be healed and made perfect. May the pain from lumbago, headache, and neuralgia disappear. May all after effects from a variety of accidents be cleansed and made perfect. May cold, flu, fatigue from sickness, and thyroid diseases be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Epilepsy, autism, depression, nervous breakdown, and all kinds of mental diseases go away. May all darkness be driven away, and let there be joy and peace in their hearts. Father God, by the most high power of creation, may all that is weak be made perfect and whole again. May all that is paralyzed become loosened, and may the crippled walk and jump. May the dimmed eyesight be brightened. May those with troubled hearing hear well. May the blind receive sight. May the deaf come to hear. May the mute begin to speak. Father, bless those who are unable to conceive. Rejoin broken bones. And make perfect and whole all burned parts of the body. Cleanse by the fire of the Holy Spirit those who suffer from addiction of narcotics, drugs, toxicants, and poison. May the dead and dead nerves and cells revive. May all darkness be forced away, and may all evil spirits be driven out. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, go away. May all their messengers be also driven out. May all the power of darkness, evil and wicked spirits, dishonest and crafty spirits, estranging and deceiving spirits, be driven out. May all chains of injustice be loosened. Darkness go away. May the light come. Father God, strengthen their spirits as well as their flesh. Give them the strength to call out to you. Give them the strength to throw away their sins and become sanctified. As each of their soul gets along well, may all in life go well with them, answer the desires of their hearts, imploration and prayer. Add faith, hope, and love, and may their families also come to hear and believe in the good news. Protect them from accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead prosperous lives without hindrance. Protect all God's children at home, work, and business with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and the eyes of the Lord that are like blazing fire. Bless them whether they come in or go out, and bless them to lend to many people but borrow from no one. Give them wisdom and understanding, and allow them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give all ministers and workers of the Lord the ability to carry out the tasks you have given them. May there also be great revival at each church. Lead your children so that they may give glory to you, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do in life. Manifest your work so that their lips may testify, I have met him, I have experienced God, I have received his answers, and I have received God's blessing. Father God, I thank you. May you alone receive all the glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.